Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hey, folks, welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally. Hey, we're back. We're back from Jackson, and we made it in one piece.
Thankfully.
Dalton there, Brad here. Back with you after a week off, quote-unquote. A week off from the podcast because we were too busy covering basketball games. The state tournament, of course, was held in Jackson. We were there for a week and a half. It wrapped up on Saturday, and Northeast Mississippi did pretty well, represented itself well, as it usually does in basketball. So that's going to be kind of the main focus of today's show, is looking back at the tournament. Had a few state champions, some big performances, all that fun stuff. Also, we're going to touch on baseball a little bit because it is baseball season has started. It got going while we were still fooling around with basketball. So a lot of that stuff to talk about on the show today. Just a reminder that the show comes to you every Wednesday, except when it doesn't, like last week. But we're back on a regular schedule now. You can access it in iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or stream it online at preprally.djournal.com. And be sure to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. Dalton, how was your first experience covering the state basketball tournament? Fun times.
It was very fun. It was very long. By the, you know,
yes, it was.
8th, 9th, 10th day, I was a little wore out, but
me too.
I enjoyed it. It was awesome to see, you know, the teams that worked so hard to win the state championship, you know, them celebrate. I hate to see some of them, you know, lose it.
That's a tough part. I mean, even though I'm a crusty old veteran sports writer, it's still when you're on the floor and you see kids crying after a really, really heartbreaking championship game loss, it kind of gets to you a little bit, you know.
Yeah,
it's a tough deal because I mean they're basically kids, and so it's sad, but I mean they still accomplished a great thing, and I hope they look back on that someday and realize that. But
yeah, and I enjoyed it. I got to see a bunch of players that I wouldn't normally see during the year.
Right.
A lot of great performances.
Yes.
And you know, just a lot of great teams play against other great teams.
Yeah, I mean, we have great area teams, but it was cool to see other teams that we just don't get to cover during the season because they're not in our area. Like, I got to see Choctaw Central's girls twice, and boy, are they good.
They're good.
If there's any team in the state that can beat Ingomar's girls, I would say it's probably Choctaw Central, and I'd love to see that matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Choctaw won the 3A title. They beat Belmont along the way. It was just a tough draw for Belmont because they had a great team this year with Clara Maroon and that bunch. But yeah, those twin sisters, the Grant girls, Kiara and Kiana, they are lights out. They are lights out. But as far as teams from our area that won championships, Oklahoma's boys won it. Then we had three girls teams: Pine Grove, Ingomar, and Starkville. Let's start with Oklahoma, Dalton. This was a team. Of course, they dropped down from 2A. And did awfully well the last few years in 2A. I mean, 3 years ago, they were in the 2A title game and lost. They made the semifinals last year and lost. And this was basically the same group that's been together. The core group has been together the last 4 years, Cam Smith, Ladarius Spears, and Jalen Bailey, and a lot of other good talent surrounding them, like Jacorius Stanfield and Jamal Moore and those guys. And this was a team that you expected them to win it all. We talked about it here on the podcast before, Dalton. We would be surprised if they didn't win it.
Yeah, they were really good. That's an understatement. They were amazing in 1A.
Yeah.
And I know everybody kept bringing up, oh, I'd love to see a grand slam to see Choctaw Central and Ingomar play. I'd love to see a grand slam to see Oklahoma play against some of these boys' teams.
Against Olive Branch, how about that? The 5A
yeah.
champ, and they may be the best team in the state.
But I think Oklahoma could hang with anybody in the state.
I think so, too. I mean, they've got great guard play. I mean, you've got Jacorius Stanfield, who's just quick as a whip and can actually hit the glass when he needs to. Cam Smith, who is 6'7", so he's got an outside game and an inside game. Ladarius Spears, who's just a load in the paint and had a really good championship game, by the way. And then you've got all these other players that would start for a lot of teams. And it's just a great all-around group, just a ton of talent on that floor.
And, you know, they were expected to win it this year. They were,
right.
And they didn't let any of it get to their head. They literally just went through and just steamrolled 1A the entire season.
From start to finish, they had two losses all year. One was to Starkville, which which reached the state tournament in 6A, and they also beat Starkville. Beat them early in the year, lost to them late in the year. Both were close games, and then they lost to a team from Tennessee, Fayette Ware, which ended up having a really good season as well. So, yeah, Okolona just untouched in 1A this year. Also in 1A, Pine Grove's girls winning back-to-back titles. Katie Bates has a really good group there. That was another team you kind of expected to win. I didn't see anybody in 1A touching them, although they got an awful big scare in the quarterfinals, didn't they, against Durant?
Yeah. See, I didn't actually get to see Pine Grove at all during the regular season.
Yeah.
I guess I was just covering the other teams.
Yeah, that's how it works sometimes.
But I liked watching them play. They're good.
They really are.
I didn't get to see that game against Durant, so I don't know how big of a scare it was. But the game I watched, they just dominated.
44-43 was that game. I mean, the big key late in that game was Durant's best player, whose quickness just gave Pine Grove fits all game. She fouled out with like 15 seconds left. And so Pine Grove is leading by one. Durant has the ball. They come down the floor. They have a chance to get a shot. I think there was four or five seconds on the clock when they inbounded. And if that girl, I forget her name, forgive me, but if that Durant player had been in the game, she would have at least gotten a shot off, I think. They never got a shot off because they didn't have a ball handler who really knew what to do with it in Pine Grove. And that was their toughest test in Jackson. And so two in a row for Pine Grove. Ingemar, another team you expected to win it in 2A. Three in a row for Trent Adair and his bunch. I mean, that's another team with a really solid senior core group there with Mallory Russell and Maggie Smithy and Lindsay Hall. But and Jataja Jones.
Mm-hmm. Those are them.
Yeah, those are all seniors. So that 70-14 game in the quarterfinals, was it?
That was a beatdown.
Ridiculous, poor things.
They held the team to, I think it was like 8% shooting and like 34 turnovers. That was just, I got to cover that one, and that was one of the most amazing games I've ever covered, because I've never seen a team just absolutely dominate someone else like that.
That's just Ingemar. But then in the title game, you know, God bless them, Neusite had to try something, so they just tried freezing the ball.
Yep,
and it worked for like a little bit,
almost the entire first half. But you know, that Ingemar press is just too much.
And, I mean, it was 3-0 after one quarter.
I hate to say it, because you have to play the game, but I don't think there was any doubt in anybody's mind that they were going to win this year.
No,
I know you have to go to the tournament, you have to play against all these great teams, but still, you won it last year, and you get two great players back with Mallory Russell and Jataja Jones that didn't play for them last year.
Yeah, because Mallory got hurt and missed a lot of last season. She wasn't even there to play in the postseason last year. And then Jataja transfers from Pontotoc and slides right into the sixth man role, leads the team in scoring.
Yeah.
And then you got, Gary Beth Self runs the show at point guard, maybe the best point guard in the area. And Trent Adair, he's got all this talent. And a lot of times that can be, it's a good problem to have. But a lot of coaches can't get the talent to work together. But, there's no egos on this team, and everybody just does their job, and you see the result, 37-1, three straight titles. And, they're losing those seniors, Hall, Jones, and Russell, and Smithy, but they've got Garabeth back. They've got Lauren Thompson back. And they've got some young players who just, I think are probably going to be really good. They just didn't have a chance to play because, the upperclassmen were so good.
Mm-hmm. No, they've got about four good, really good girls returning.
Yeah,
and honestly, way too early prediction. It wouldn't surprise me to see them there again next year.
Yeah, certainly not. And then Starkville's girls winning in 6A. Christy Williams has been a coach there a long time. Had a really good group. Got to see them play, and they just got some really good players: Jaleesa Outlaw and Jariah Covington. And it's just a really good team that she's got there, and we'll probably see one or two of those girls on the all-area team, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. We're working on all-area stuff, not just for basketball, but for soccer as well. So those are your four champs there: Okolona, Pine Grove, Ingemar, Starkville. And by the way, Starkville, and she talked about this, Coach Williams did, going into the game, they technically were the defending champs, because they lost last year to Olive Branch in the title game, when Olive Branch was still in 6A. And then, of course, they had to vacate that title because they used an ineligible player. So by default, Starkville gets the title, but Starkville wanted to win this one on the court. And they did by beating Murrah for the third straight time. Murrah, which I think at one time was considered the best team in the state. Mm-hmm. I guess that'd be Starkville now, at least in 6A. I'd like to see Starkville and Ingomar. That'd be a good game, too.
It would. Yeah. That would be very good.
But there's been no Grand Slam for like last 9 or 10 years, which is a shame. They should bring that back. I will lobby for that. Anita, if Neil McCoy, if you're listening, do what you can to make that happen again. Neil's a friend of the program. Real quick, I had a column in today's paper just looking back at the tournament. We don't have to go into too much detail, but just looking back at some of the big players, the big performances, and all that fun stuff. And, this is one of those things that sports writers just like to do because, you know, whatever, you know, all tournament team. Just looking at who had the best performances from the area. And, you know, on the boys' side, I had to go with a couple of Oklahoma kids, Jalen Bailey and Ladarius Spears. Ladarius had, 21-7 in the title game.
He dominated the title game.
They couldn't do anything with him. I mean, once he got the ball from the basket, they literally couldn't guard him. Now, they kept him away from the basket. At some points in the game, they were able to keep him off the block a little bit, and that's all they could do. But Ashland, by the way, the 2-time defending state champ, they just didn't have the size to deal with that.
That was the most, for an individual, the most dominating performance I saw all tournament.
And really, the numbers don't do it justice. I mean, he could have had a bigger game, but again, he's got so much talent around mm-hmm. him. So those two guys, of course, Madarius Hobson got Hulka to the semifinals. He's just Mr. Consistency. I mean, he averaged 24.5 points, 14 rebounds in those games. John D. Warren helped Corinth get to the 4A final. Alex Wilson shot lights out for Wheeler. And on the girls, I had Jariah Covington and Kirsten Thompson, both of Starkville. Jataja Jones of Ingomar, Madison Farr of Newside had that big 34-point game in the quarterfinals, I think it was, mm-hmm. and Haley Vick of Pine Grove, really good guard there for the Lady Panthers. So anyway, just go read the column. You can find more stuff there that I wrote, if you wish. Real quick, let's look at the final rankings. We do these basketball rankings. We took a few weeks off from them, let the postseason play out. So I shuffled some things up, some fairly significantly. Because I think that the playoffs should factor significantly in the final ranking. So Oklahoma back to number one. You know, Starkville beat them late in the season, so we put Starkville at number one. Oklahoma, if they played a rubber match, I'd probably take Oklahoma. And Oklahoma won the state title, so I'll put them at number one. Starkville number two, Saltillo three, followed by Corinth and Holly Springs, and then. On the girls' side, you got Ingomar still at number one. They've been there all year, followed by Starkville, Pine Grove, Lafayette, Belmont. If you want to see the entire top 10, just go to djournal.com.
Smart.
Yes, and they were in Monday's paper, too, if you still got a copy of that laying around. All-area soccer and basketball. We're just going to have a quick general discussion. Don't want to give anything too much away. But, of course, soccer season ended a few weeks ago, and, again, we were tied up with basketball. So this week we're just now really getting into – trying to get that team put together, and hopefully we'll run on the Sunday the 25th. Going to do it this year a little different than last year, and this to me just makes the most sense. You put 11 players on the pitch, we're going to do the best 11 players, that's it. Best 11 girls, best 11 boys, no second team or anything, that's it, best 11. So we're still trying to hammer that out. We'll have player of the year, coach of the year as well. And so we've been trying to get our heads wrapped around that a little bit as we're still kind of in basketball mode. And working on basketball all area as well. And we're close, Dalton. Again, not giving anything away. We're real close to hammering down, to nailing down our top 15. We're going to do three teams, first team, five players, same with second and third team, boys and girls. So the top 15 boys, basically top 15 girls, player of the year, coach of the year. And honestly, we're still trying to figure out who our boys player of the year is going to be and the coach of the year. I think we've decided on girls. On who's going to be coach and player there. But boys, man, it's tough.
That's tough. There's a lot of great boys players in the area.
I mean, just looking at the coaches, you got, of course, Arteria Clifton won the title at Oklahoma. You've got Craig Lauderdale has done a great job at Saltillo, which has until recently not been a basketball power. You've got Keith Green. Corinth struggled early in the year. He really got them turned around and going in the right direction. I mean, there's a lot of just good coaches. I mean, look at what Brian Pearson has done at Amory.
Mm-hmm.
Turned them complete 180 in a short amount of time. I mean, those are just four guys just off the top of my head. And then player of the year, I mean, good heavens. Darius Hobson, Tater Strickland, De'Anthony Tipler, Daquan Smith. I was glad to get to see him play in the postseason down there in Jackson. You know, from Holly Springs, didn't get a chance to cover him in the season. Had a bad title game. Couldn't buy a shot. You know, and sometimes you just have bad games. But that trip, that double overtime game you covered.
Whew. He impressed me that game.
Yeah, yeah, and that was a crazy game. I wish I'd been there to see it. I was covering the girls at Jackson State that day. But I don't know when that will run, but that's just kind of how the setup's going to be. First, second, third team, five each. Okay, let's talk some baseball real quick. Dalton, you got to actually go out and see a game this week. Houston and Moorville at the Oxford Spring Break Tournament.
Yeah, I got back from the tournament, and first day back at work, I had to go cover a baseball game.
Ha, that's how it goes.
Yeah, no, Moorville and Houston, two of the top teams in the area. Moorville, of course, won 3A last year, moved up to 4A.
Yep.
And then Houston is always a powerhouse.
Yes, always
and,
good.
Yeah, you know, they're in 3A now. So,
right, right.
They played in the Oxford Spring Break Tournament, so I'm up there and watched, and it was a pretty good game. Moorville jumped out on them early, and then Houston just fought its way back in, and they had a big inning where Moorville kind of fell apart on the mound.
Yeah.
I think they hit, like, three or four batters, walked one or two, and then just gave up a bunch of hits, and Houston just took advantage. Houston wasn't hitting doubles or anything. I think they had one double in the game.
Good old small ball. I love it.
Single, single, single. I think they had the one inning where they started the inning off with three bunt singles in a row.
Nice.
they ended up pulling out a 10-7 win. The game got called early due to time restrictions. But
right.
But, you know, both those teams looked good.
And Moorville, you didn't get to see him pitch that day, but Andy Franks, a.k.a. Hammer, you had a story on him today about his big accomplishment last Friday, wasn't it?
Sometime last week.
It was late last week.
Yeah, I was really hoping to get to see at least one of their top three pitch, and Moorville didn't pitch any of them. But, he goes out there against Caledonia in the division game. Wasn't even supposed to pitch.
Yeah.
Andrew Pugh was supposed to get the start. I guess
he's really good.
I guess he's their number two. And he had a little arm soreness, so they told Hammer, they said, go out there and just get as many innings as you can, and we'll figure something out for the late innings. And they didn't need to, because he threw 93 pitches for a complete game shutout and struck out 18 batters.
A school record,
18. Yeah, school record. He said he didn't even know it was a school record until he walked off the field that day.
Well, if you set a school record for Moorville baseball, you've done something. That is a program rich in baseball history. They've got a lot of state championships. And so, yeah, that's, you know, seven-inning game. So 18 of 21 outs.
He only threw 93 pitches in the game.
Jeez.
And Coach Derek Thompson told me that he got to a three-ball count one time in the entire game, and he ended up striking that guy out.
Nice.
So he gave up.
So he may become a regular in the rotation.
Yeah, Coach. I had a quote in my story. Coach said, if he wants to keep his job, he better put him up there.
That's right. Smart thinking, Coach. So, check out that story in today's journal on Andy Franks. Let's wrap up the show with Athletes of the Week. We do this every week, honor a male and a female athlete for their accomplishments from the past few days. Female Athlete of the Week, Jataja Jones, the senior guard for Ingomar, had a big state tournament there as the Lady Falcons won their third state title in a row. First time that's been done in Ingomar girls basketball history, by the way. 14.3 points per game she averaged, along with four rebounds, shot 59.3% from the field. That's a guard, okay? Those are numbers that your post player puts up from all those high-percentage shots. That's not bad. Male Athlete of the Week, we talked about him too earlier, Ladarius Spears of Oklahoma in those three games. And Jackson averaged 15.3 points, 9.3 rebounds, 51.4% from the field, and again had that dominant title game with the 21 points and 7 rebounds. So congrats to Jataja Jones and Ladarius Spears, your Athletes of the Week. And that does it for this episode of Prep Rally. Thanks for joining us. And again, you can catch us here every Wednesday in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps that's where we'll put updates for when a new episode drops, and also just general high school sports updates there. Follow Dalton on Twitter at dlmiddleton8. I'm on there at Bradlock. All right, that's it. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.